Visiting today with OSU's Dr. Amy Hagerman, we're talking about some important options for farmers right now, because I know we've got some dates that are coming up. So kind of give us an overview of everything we need to have filled out and by when, if you can do that for us.
Yeah, so March is a pretty important time. As we come into February, we're looking forward to March, and February and March are pretty critical times for some of the different programs and even some of the different crop reports that need to go in. Really, if you want to know exactly what your deadlines are, you just need to contact your local FSA office and your local crop insurance agent, because they'll give you the exact times. They vary a little bit by crops for some of the things like crop insurance, or for some of the crop reporting that has to be done. They vary a little bit by crop, but March 15th tends to just be a date when a lot of things come up. The first, of course, being that ARC and PLC election for those producers that have base acres. And so this is a really interesting year for ARC and PLC election, looking forward into the next year, looking out that 12 months to that decision, because we're actually coming into this election deadline with some higher prices than we have in recent years, and also some droughtier conditions here in Oklahoma. So I think that may influence decisions for some people. And I wouldn't be surprised if we have a lot of people who are really waiting right really close to that March 15th deadline before making their final election and enrollment decisions. The other thing on March 15th for our wheat producers in particular is going to be their crop insurance. And so again, this just with some of our conditions, this is a really important risk management tool to look into crop insurance. And so that's obviously a really important date for that. And then also Conservation Reserve Program just reopened. And so looking forward and thinking about for any producers that might want to set aside some land, that one is just opening and will close later on in the year.
And I also saw today, I think, where they're extending the dairy margin coverage. What does that mean for us?
Yeah, so for our dairy producers here in the state, that's another risk management option, just to be able to cover some of the downside price risk. And dairy markets have really had a lot of volatility in them in recent years. And so I think a lot of our dairy producers have been looking for that price risk management. And so extending that deadline just gives dairy producers a little bit more time to think about the kind of coverage that they need, to look at the subsidies that are available to them. Certainly anyone who falls into, you know, some of those categories that have some potentially some additional benefits associated with them in terms of size, or even the experience level of that producer, needs to take advantage of those everywhere that they can. So this just gives folks a little bit more time to decide how much risk for price that they need to manage.
Well, I know for all of our producers, everybody's worried about drought assistance. And I know there's going to be some indemnity programs for that. But what do they need to be thinking about as we continue in this drought situation?
So I think for a lot of our drought programs, it's important to remember that a lot of it does depend on the kind of ground that you have. So certainly for our crop producers, thinking about crop insurance as that main instrument. But then for anyone with pasture or grass, you know, we're starting to think about what kind of grass do you have? Something like the livestock forage program, which we had several counties in Oklahoma that were eligible for that last year for our warm season grasses. And right now we don't have quite as many types of grass that are in critical grazing season for the livestock forage program. But if this drought continues through the year, we could expect to see more types of grass that are eligible. The other thing about that program is that it really is time dependent. It depends somewhat on how many weeks in drought a county has, and also how severe that drought is. And so that's the other thing to bear in mind, is that some of those programs will change as we go through the year. There may be more grass types that are eligible. There may be higher payment rates depending on how severe the drought gets. And so that's something that really has to be tracked pretty closely. And again, that's a conversation you can have with your Farm Service Agency office Then also thinking about some of the insurance products for pasture and rangeland and for rainfall. Is this a year when it might make sense to look at some of those insurance products, especially get into the summer when some of those new periods for purchasing those kinds of insurance products come available? You know, again, what's your grazing period? What do you think you really need to manage risks for on this drought period? And thinking really hard about some of those pasture, rangeland, and forage programs and some of the annual rainfall programs as well in terms of insurance.
What about things where, you know, wildfires? That's a big topic of conversation right now. And then, of course, we had that terrible weather where we've got producers that are calving and lose some calves in that situation. What kind of programs should they be looking for?
Yeah, absolutely. There are some disaster programs that are available whenever something extreme like that occurs. So thinking about this cold weather, some of those calves that were lost, then we're thinking about the livestock indemnity program. Really critical thing, especially right now on that, is that the notice of loss has to be within 30 days of when that abnormal mortality occurs. And that doesn't mean you have to have all your documentation together right at that moment. It just means that you need to let FSA know that a loss occurred and that you're interested in applying for the LIP program. They're also going to tell you what is abnormal mortality for your county and to be able to find out how many animals would be eligible for the LIP program. Then thinking about documentation, you know, I think it's a hard thing to do to think about documenting losses, especially when you're in the midst of trying to save as many calves as you can. But before those animals that died are buried or disposed of in some way, that loss has to be documented in some way. So keeping that in mind, making sure you're keeping good calving records so that you know exactly how many calves you had at the time, so that you can document that it was a live calf for some that you owned prior to the loss occurring. So really just thinking about that documentation. Then also, you know, if we have any other of this bad spring weather, you know, I've heard a few people say that it's going to be a bad one for spring weather this year. So if we have damages to farm buildings or to fence lines, then we're thinking about the emergency conservation program. This is one that you have to talk to your FSA county office about because it's something that the county committee decides if they're going to activate that for the county. So again, that's just a good communication, a good conversation that occurs for that. Again, going back to drought just a little bit, we also have the emergency assistance for livestock, honeybees, and farm-raised fish, which is, the acronym is ELAP, which does not match what the program is called. that one, they expanded to help cover the cost of hay transportation for counties that are in extreme drought, and then also for some water hauling for those counties that are in extreme drought. So that's a new element to ELAP this year that people can consider